ladies and gentlemen, we are running behind time. Let's welcome everybody present, and we do make a quorum as members. There are 6 members present here out of 11, so we are allowed therefore to proceed. Just before we get on to the agenda, some matters of housekeeping pertaining to the program. Because of the work of the local government elections, certain work that we are asked to do by the speaker, we had to effect some changes, but also looking at some logistics in terms of the work ahead of us in this term. That means that in terms of the program you have in your possession, there will be changes. Some of them is to take you into consideration. We're trying to cut out the necessity for us to meet on Friday, because we know that the likelihood is that there will be a lot of apologies already. There were some indications of some honorable members who will not be present, who will not be able to attend on Friday. As a result, we requested today to be the whole day. So therefore, we will be here until 4 p.m., depending on the workload. Is lunch provided for? No? Okay. The unfortunate part is that they will break for lunch and go and have lunch at our home and rest, and come back and continue with our work. The issue, you know yourself, that we have exhausted our budget. Even the oversight, as we've indicated last time, we are pinching from somewhere. Otherwise, the study tour made us to overspend by 250,000 on our budget. So, but we are assisting others who are not, for various reasons, able to spend their budget. And indeed, we are very grateful to them for that. So as a result, therefore, today, I will come back to the agenda. Now, which means the meeting that we are going to have on Friday, the 4th, will not be necessary anymore, because we're going to hold it today. We're going to be tabling the report on public hearings of the state-owned mining company, the study tour to Chile, and the study tour to Bolivia. We're going to table those reports today, have a discussion on them, and then indeed we look at considering them and adopting them at some other stage. Secondly, of course, we will still meet Geoscience Council and MINTEC on the 8th of March. On Friday, the 11th, we were supposed to meet PASA, the Petroleum Association of South Africa. We will move that to the 16th of March, again taking away that Friday to a Wednesday on the 16th of March. What we are going to do on the 16th of March, which is the consideration and the adoption of the annual reports of all these entities, we are now shifting that to the 23rd of March, and then which would be our last day. What, therefore, in terms of here, the parliamentary precinct, following that, we are going to go on oversight on the 30th and the 31st, where we are going to be handling public hearings. First in Culturesville in Gauteng region, second in Klerksdorp in Northwest Province. The issue is around the mining charter and the general transformation in the industry. So then we will come back in the second term and deal with the public hearings that were scheduled to take place here in Parliament, so that we can finalize all the work that we have done in as far as the mining charter is concerned. So the changes, therefore, are that today we're going to have the whole day. Hopefully on Tuesday again, we will try for a whole day, depending on whether the house is sitting or not. But the work that we're going to do on Friday, we're going to do it today. And that the briefing of or briefing by PASA will be on the 16th. The consideration of these annual reports will be on the 23rd. And then public hearing on the 30th and the 31st of March. That's when we will then be handling, you know, those issues. Now, I don't know if there's any comment in as far as that is concerned, so that we can get to the business of the day. Honorable Dexter?
Chair, just to indicate, I've got a clash. I've got the Energy Committee, so I'll have to go there for a short while this morning. But I'll return. That's not going to last all day, that one.
But this is committee week. Energy is supposed to meet on Wednesday.
Well, don't fight with me, Chair. Don't fight with the committee.
No, I'm fighting with you because you're a member of this committee.
I'm a member of both committees, Chair. But the problem is I don't schedule. I would like to take over the running of Parliament and schedule all these things. So if you nominate me for that position, these things would be far more efficient if I did it. But unfortunately, I'm relegated to this role.
Yes, I will hold on.
Thank you very much. At number two, I've got a study group on public development today. Number two.
Not apologize there.
It depends on the quorum. If you'll have a quorum, if they won't have a quorum, then. But I'll try.
Hey? No, let's talk about that. Because I think members, the same goes for you, Honorable Dexter. We must begin to prioritize this committee. Because if we do not, then I will talk to your chief whip that you must be redeployed elsewhere. I didn't say you must respond. Hey? Oh, talk to Schloer. Okay. Is he their chief whip?
Well, yeah, he's joining the ANC again, so you should be able to get all of this stuff easily. No, but Chair, it's a serious issue. He has a note at 10 o'clock, we must go to ANC.
No, we will sort that thing out because committee week, as you are aware,
yeah.
We suppose even the approval of those meetings,
precisely.
We will deal with it. Yeah.
And it places us as members in a difficult position because how do we choose?
No, that's fine. We dealt with this matter of the program. It would appear that there are no comments. Let's then go back to the agenda. Firstly, can we get if there are any apologies to this meeting?
Good morning, honourable members. There is an apology from the minister. There is a cabinet meeting in Pretoria this week, and so she will not be able to attend the meeting. She apologized. Another apology is from Advocate Smith. He is in Joburg and will only be returning this evening. Thank you. Bye.
Any other apologies? The Deputy Minister called to say that he is in Daung finalizing one of your instructions. To the department in terms of that community. So he is there. Any other apology? No one. All right. Good. Let's then move on. On the agenda, honorable members, we have Mine Health and Safety Council before us. They're going to take us through their work in terms of the annual report. And then we'll engage. After that, we will deal with Northern Cape. Northern Cape is our second leg, the oversight visit of the 22nd to the 26th of November. That report will be tabled here. We will look into it and interact with it. Added to that is the legal opinion that we have requested from the legal team. The legal advisor has given us, in as far as one of the trust funds, the Alex Scott Development Trust Fund, we must therefore pronounce on this matter. They are giving us guidelines in terms of how far can we go, but indeed we have a right to summon them before Parliament. They are suggesting some procedures to be followed. Then also there is an update report from the Namakwa Endowment Fund Trust on issues that when we met them in Northern Cape, we've requested to in writing sent through to us. They indeed did so on the 28th of February, which was yesterday. So we'll discuss that together with the report of the Northern Cape. Then we will later come to the public hearings report, and finally we table the study tour report so that we can begin to apply our minds properly and see at what stage, at what juncture do we call the department to come and appraise us on the very positive developments that have taken place. We must have seen last week the president officiating in a salt turning event where a state-owned mining company mine has been established. So that mine is going to be established and run by the state-owned mining company from scratch, as you have seen the sod turning right through to the stage where it operates as a mine. So, you missed that in the news. It was reported on also in Sunday papers.
No.
Leave those politics aside. You see, government must proceed with its programs. Ours is to oversight whether they're doing the right thing or not. So, indeed, the NEM will take its fight with the ministry through that angle. But I think the important thing is that finally, you know, the work that we have all been doing is now is coming into fruition, and as a result, we now go to see a mine under the auspices of the state-owned mining company, which is good news. It follows hot in the footsteps of the State of the Nation address. So which means when we debate the minister's budget vote, we will be bragging, Honorable Murray, we will be bragging that this committee has taken... I know you don't necessarily agree.
When are we toasting for that
sake? I know you don't necessarily agree, but just as a compatriot, this is a good direction. Yes.
Now we're toasting for that.
We'll discuss with the minister so that the right time and moment. Yes. Honorable Jester?
Chair, I'd just like us to note that we should monitor, given the performance of Alex Corp, we should monitor very carefully the state-owned mining corporation.
Yeah.
So I'd like to make sure that I'm being serious, we must put it on the agenda, you know, so that we keep a very close eye.
If you come back early from energy, it's on the agenda, Honorable Dexter. In the study tour report, there's an area for recommendations.
Wow.
And that's where we must begin as this committee to put flesh. You know, for instance, the question of Alesco. Do we believe that Alesco must continue to be a standalone state-owned mining company? but we believe that it must be incorporated into this African exploration. So it's your call as a committee to basically flesh those details. So I'm saying it's already here, but we may not finalize it today, but I think we will begin a process, a very important process going forward. Okay, honorable members, then that's the agenda for today. Can we allow the Mine Health and Safety Council to introduce themselves and to then earnestly take us through their presentation? Over to you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and members, and good morning once again. My name is David Mzizwa. I'm currently the acting chief inspector of mines. I'm also the acting chairperson of the Mine Health and Safety Council Board. my previous boss sitting on my right, Mr. Thabo Gazi, he's just been recently appointed as the he's been recently appointed as CEO of the Mine Health and Safety Council, and we thank you. And we have Naveen Singh, who's the CROO of the council, and we have Chief Research of an Operation Officer. Am I right, Naveen? Okay. CROO. And we have Mr. David Molapo, who's also been recently appointed as the CFO of the council. Our previous CFO sadly passed away. And we have also Dr. Audrey Banyini Molaudri, who's the health manager at the council. So on behalf of my colleagues, I would like to appreciate the opportunity that you are giving us to address you today. Health and safety is always in the fore, as you all know. And although recently it has been reported that we had a 24% improvement year on year between 2009 and 10 on fatalities, we as a board and as well as the minister, we have a great concern with the continued loss of life. And the presentation will touch on some of the steps or measures that we are taking to improve on that.
Sorry, just before you go further, do we have copies? Where are they? Do you have it, member? Oh, only me that doesn't have. Okay, thanks, David.
Thank you, Chair. As I indicated, our minister is also greatly concerned, although we did achieve this milestone of 24%, which is the lowest fatality rate that we've achieved. And I must also emphasize and mention that health and safety issues for the first time have been included in the reviewed mining charter. So also the mining companies will be expected to report on performance on health and safety. And we as the council, we are really assisting in that particular regard. Fall of ground as well, it has been a challenge. Our minister had a meeting with the CEOs last year of the platinum mining companies. The resolution was taken then to appoint a task team under the Mine Health and Safety Council. I must report that that task team has done some work, and the draft report was finalized and sent to the CEOs for their input before it's presented to the minister herself. And I think also on the DMR side, previously we had a challenge of filling our vacant post. I think about 3 years ago, we had 30% vacancy. We had a 30% vacancy rate. Currently, we have about 16% or about 15% vacancy rate. But I must also inform the members that within the DMR as well, through the leadership of the minister and the DG, there are some actions that have been taken to respond to the call by the state presidency to fill all the posts by the end of June this year. I think within obviously, today's meeting is mainly on the annual report of the Mine Health and Safety Council. I'll give Mr. Gazi the opportunity to take you through the performance and what steps that we are taking to make sure that there's a sustainable improvement. And before I hand over to Mr. Gadzi, the minister has also requested us as a department to review the Mine Health and Safety Act to ensure that it also covers pertinent issues that have to do with enforcement and some of the issues that were previously brought here. I think those are Section 57 and Section 86 will be covered with the current review. We currently, as the department, are in a consultation. We are engaged in a consultation process where we give the relevant stakeholders an opportunity to make their input on the proposed legislation, which will, at a later stage, be brought to this committee for further consideration, Chair. But without further ado, we'll give Mr. Kaiser the opportunity to go through the presentation. Thank you.
Chair, I'm not talking about two odd things. I was wondering.
It's always a pleasure for the Mine Health and Safety Council to come and brief the committee on our work. As the presentation will show, the Mine Health and Safety Council is a small entity. It's an advisory council to the minister. When it was declared a public entity in 2003, it brought a lot of governance responsibility. So in some sense, it operates like a board. That introductory slide, I think we've done that. But in the main, the presentation will cover those areas: the mandate of council, the overview, the strategic objectives, how we monitor them, and how we performed in the last year. We will reflect on governance at the council, and we'll also talk about occupational health and safety performance in the sector. And we brought it at the bottom because, as David has highlighted, we are an advisory council. We do program of work research to support national initiative on improving health and safety. So the outcome of our work is fed into the industry. We'll talk about what we're doing to promote that, and then if they are implemented, we're able to see improvement. We'll also look into the future and in the main talking to issues that were raised at the committee. I particularly remember the last presentation, there was questions around surplus. We had about 24 million surplus at the time. And what are we doing to correct that? And what is the status at this stage? Our cooperation with other entities, like Council of Geoscience, we will reflect on that. So when we look at the Mine Health and Safety Council, for now, given the challenges in the sector, we chose a vision that says a regulatory framework and climate that produces safe and healthy working conditions for mine workers and communities affected by mining. So in a medium to long term, that's where we want to see ourselves as a sector, and programs to address this will be reflected in the detailed discussions of the strategic objectives. The mission articulates the mandate as captured in our Act to facilitate research, guidance, effective policy advice to the Minister on Legislation and the Development of a Pervasive Culture of Health and Safety. And I think it's a strategic objective. I'll focus on the issue of culture. Because as a country, I think that's an area where we didn't do much. I mean, it came out in 97 with Judge Leon's report. It was stated as an objective in the Act, and indeed it's one of the seven objectives of the Act. So there is work that the Council is currently doing. It will be rolling out and implementing. In fact, it's one of the highlights for the coming year. The following slide captures what is in the Act to advise the Minister on all occupational health and safety issues in the mining industry as matters come to the fore currently, as in mine drainage. At some stage last year, there were major issues with methane explosions in the number of areas the Council respond to issues like that. We saw the incident in Chile. We do look at the details and see what advice we can put through to the Minister to direct the sector to implement programs. We also review and develop legislation for recommendation to the Minister. And at that point, here the focus is mainly on the regulation, because we will remember that in 97, when the Mine Health and Safety Act was promulgated, we had 35 chapters of regulations under the Mineral Act, which were kept alive with Schedule 4 of the current Act, but they needed reviewing to be in line with the Act, and Council, through its committees, has been busy reviewing those pieces of legislation. Promoting health and safety, which will define the focus of Council going forward. We've been focusing more on research and much less on promotion. And the Council very recently approved the strategy on communication, clear communication plans, that will make sure that the learnings that comes of our research work are communicated, are implemented, and we see the results in people living, working in safer environments. Council does oversee a program of research. We'll talk about plans going forward, and then liaising with MQA. And on the point of liaising with MQA, there's a good relationship going on between the Council and MQA. Currently, we're working together on developing health and safety capacity at the level of health and safety representatives, union shop stewards at the mine level, because with the capacity constraints around enforcement, we think those people properly trained will become an extra eye on matters relating to health and safety. This is the Council structure. Just briefly, we've presented this on a number of occasions to the Council, but often we do have new members. So the Council is really an advisory body, and you can see even how it's structured, not a normal board in essence. We have three stakeholder representatives, five members from state, five from labor, and five from employers. It's a 15-member Council. And the committees are structured along the same line. A lot of the work that Council has to deliver is to support the government work of a regulator. So all these committees are chaired by officials from the department. The Council is chaired by the Chief Inspector. MREC is chaired by one of the Deputy Chief Inspector. MOHEC is chaired by the Medical Inspector, Dr. Mukoboto, and SEMREC is chaired by one of the Deputy Chief Inspector, Mr. Thabo Dube. And those points under the committees highlight the focus areas for the committee, and I'd like to reflect briefly on the work of the committees. Mining Regulatory Advisory Committee, the one in grey, the main function there is to review the regulations. Currently, they're dealing with topics relating to shaft installations and conveyances. We know one of our major disasters in this country related to shaft conveyance. and they are busy reviewing that piece of legislation. And they also advise council on guidelines of code to develop codes of practice. Also advise council on the standards developed by the South African National Standards Fund. MOHEC focus on health policy, health information, and throughout the presentation it's apparent that there is a challenge around health data collection, and obviously with less data it affects your focus, your program, and we'll talk about what we're doing to improve the situation, health regulation, and also focus on research. FEMREC crystallizes the research needs by using the existing data, develops a program, council approves the program for advice to the minister. On the basis of that program, research is undertaken. Finalized research, technology transfer, that's where our promotion work comes in. In really disseminating that information. So that's the focus area. At the bottom there is operational execution and implementation of council. Council as an entity develop a strategic plan that needs to be implemented. We have an office complement of 26. Indeed, in the past, we had major challenges with the CFO passing away last year, March, which really, and the committee would remember before her coming, there was also a bit of instability at executive level. At this stage, I would like to assure the committee that the team is settled. We have the CFO who has started and is busy on collecting the money that we need for research and guiding procurement processes in the entity. The following slide talks to the process we follow in determining our strategic focus. We do look at opportunities and challenges, if there's been review of legislation, broader challenges facing the sector, past performance, and also whether our current strategic objectives are relevant. We really analyze that, look at the council mandate, look at strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, and once we've done that, we develop strategic objectives for council approval and eventually approved by the minister and submitted to parliament. And that's what we will be reporting on today. In the last 3 years, we've moved to a balanced scorecard reporting format. And that approach really helps us to look at an organization in its entirety. I mean, following the industrial age, much more focus was on financial reporting and customer focus, but less so on internal processes, growing your own people, that is learning and growth. So the balanced scorecard format forces us to look at capacity development internally and whether we have processes to respond to the challenges we face. So all those objectives are developed and catered for. As we can see in this slide, in the different quadrants, those are objectives that were identified to address those four perspectives to respond to stakeholder needs and desire for improvement in the sector. So the slide you see there, members, it's really a one-page picture and map, strategic map of the council that tells us what the council do, and I'll try and put it across. When you look at the bottom, the main issue for nature of entity like ourselves, we need to manage the risk. We'll talk about that in our presentation, but at the bottom, underlying as a public entity, managing the finances, collecting our revenue, managing our resources properly. And once we've done that, we've chosen through three themes. If you look there in the blue, in the blue on our slide, efficient business processes, knowledge leadership, stakeholder and customer relationship management. So with sound financial management, it really allows us to attract the relevant staff, embed core values in our staff, and once we've done that, they are able to drive our internal processes, our efficient business processes, so that we're able to deliver, as you can see there at the top, on time. We are a public entity, we need to submit things on time, we need to finalize, and without people to drive those processes, it will be almost impossible. And when we do that, we're able to promote safety in our industry. Also, with sound financial management, we're able to build technological capability, the third box there, which allows us to really play a role of knowledge leadership in occupational health and safety at mines. I mean, in this country, there's no other entity that would play that role, and it's a challenge for us. If you don't have the competition, sometimes you can slumber. And we've built those objectives to keep us awake to the challenges we're facing. So build the technological capability to play that role so that we provide advice and we influence legislation to promote health and safety culture in the mining industry. And our challenge and our strength at the same time is how we structure the tripartite body by its nature, driven by interest. So we need to keep working on those relationships, stakeholder, customer relationship management, to make sure that we leverage the networks, we understand the stakeholder needs to strengthen that partnership to continue to promote our health, the health and safety culture in the industry. So that really, that's what the map is telling us. That's what we do and the teams we've chosen to make sure we're able to deliver on our mandate. The following is the detailed discussions of the strategic objectives. Rate being off target, that's an area we did not achieve. And then the yellow will be approaching the target, and then the red is on target. And on a quarterly basis, we do report to the minister, quarterly report, and those reports eventually culminate into an annual report that we present before the committee today. So looking at the stakeholder perspective, I'm going to go into the details of each objective, how we've done, how we've performed, what are the challenges, and what we're doing to address the challenges. In the main, on the stakeholder perspective, we achieved an area of challenge was that with the rate influencing legislation, developing or reviewing legislation, sending that advice to the minister for approval. When I get to the slide, I'll talk to the challenges. The first one, regular advice to the minister, we've achieved. The target was 4. We've achieved. We sent through 4 reports in the year on silicosis, on tuberculosis and treatment facilities, compensation system and challenges for mine workers to the minister. And maybe at this point, when we talk about compensation, we will be, compensation is managed centrally by the Department of Labor. However, recently we've engaged with the compensation commissioner who is on the council from now on, because we think that closer collaboration will really assist in helping us to deal with challenges around compensation. And we also understand that the Department of Labor is reviewing the compensation legislation. The department has been invited to participate in those processes. And I'm highlighting it because I know it was an issue of concern in the last presentation to the committee. And then the next presentation focuses on the promotion work we've done in the last year. One of the finalized projects of council was around silicosis. And the challenge with research is once you've done research, what do you do with it? Often it's packaged in a way that people who are busy, who are doing operational management, are not able to take it quickly and implement it, or even workers. So more and more focus is on promotion and counsel. We take the outcome of the research, package it in a way that is usable to our stakeholders. We conducted roadshows across the country. I think it was 5 provinces. And that picture just shows the crowds we attracted at different mining sites. And there were plays where workers were involved and really internalized what it means to be exposed to dust, how it can affect them. In fact, one worker in the interviews that we've collected, he was saying it's the first time I really get to understand. You know, I've always knew that silicosis is a problem, but with this roadshow, it really impressed on my mind the things I can do to avoid the problem. So we think this promotional focus will also go a long way in assisting us to tackle the challenges. On influencing legislation, that is an area where we not achieved. The target was 6. We only managed to send 3 pieces of regulation. We have developed internal process. We've developed a process currently as we speak. We call it the process document that guides the whole process of developing new regulations for advice to the minister. Given that our entity works on a tripartite basis without a formal process, in fact, over the years, it's always been a challenge to get things going, because in terms of the Act, we must seek consensus. And that's often the challenge. People have varying points of view, but that process document that we've developed, we think will guide the process. It makes provision for people when they don't agree, how do we get things moving? And we think that it will address the challenge of non-performance in that area. And then promotion of health and safety, I've touched on the promotion with silicosis work, but one of the major work that came through, we achieved partially, was to engage an entity that will really squarely look at the challenge of why we're having such serious problems with health and safety in our sector. In the Leon Commission, there was a whole section of the report dedicated to problems of occupational health and safety culture in the mining sector. I remember when I started at the mines as a junior engineer, a manager tells you this is not a training center. You go and do what you need to do. So there's a cultural disjuncture. You can be taught good principles, how to do things. When you get to operations, they tell you this is not a training center. And it's really a culture problem which leads to injuries, which leads to death, which really imposes a huge social cost on a developing economy like ours. So council identified the need to focus on the culture issues, because with regulation, with enforcement, we will get to a point where you're no longer getting improvement unless you deal with the value cultural issues that drive injuries and death in our sector. And to that effect, we've developed a document, a culture transformation framework for the mining industry. We were going to launch the project under the theme Changing Minds, Changing Minds. A very powerful theme indeed, because it touches at the heart of what people believe. We find that bonuses are paid, which drives people to really take dangerous actions, which often leads to death. And this whole program looks at bonus systems, what we incentivize. Are we incentivizing wrong behavior? The president of NAM once said, you know, sometimes we sit back and watch the taxi driver behave the way they behave. But they are told, you give me 1,000 rand, what you do after that your baby. So they drive like they drive to reach the target and make more for themselves. So those things need to be addressed if we are going to deal with the challenge of health and safety. And this culture transformation work, we believe, is one of those underpinning things that will make a transformational change in the challenges we're facing with health and safety. And this year we're looking forward to rolling it out. It's been built in the charter framework under the MPRDA to really link it to licenses. If the mines are not going to be implemented, it carries the risk of them losing their license, and we think it will really go a long way in improving health and safety. On the internal processes, what are we doing internally at the council now, at operations, to make sure that we're consistently able to deliver on the objectives we've been talking about? We have those measures, the objectives, and in the main, we have achieved in this area. We're really improving processes in the council, and I think that is reflected in the unqualified report and the comments of the audit committee in driving internal processes. However, I'd like to draw the committee's attention to that area of engaging in purposeful research. And really the measure there is number of projects finalized. And I'm highlighting this point because it talks to the surplus, the 23 million on research. But I'll address it when we go to the detailed slides dealing with that. The research program was approved, and I'll just talk to how we go about developing our research program. Annually, step one, we get data from the department. We analyze the data, health and safety data. As we can see there, members at the top, we can see that fall of ground accounts for the biggest chunk of modalities that lead to fatalities in our sector, 38%. It used to be more, but it still accounts for the bigger percentage. The second one, TMM, is transport and machinery, mobile machinery. At mines, that accounts for 18% of death in our sector. So we really do look at causes of death. We look at occupational health reports, as we see there. The milestones in 2003 had set a target of 95% reducing exposure to crystalline silica, which leads to silicosis. To say it must be below that level. And in the main, when we look at that slide, we can see that all the regions, all the nine regions, but three, were trending in the right, oh, that's the reverse, I'm talking to the wrong slide. But we look at all this data, and once we've done that, we are able to say, yes, fall of ground is a problem. TMM, let me go to step two. And also we review previous conducted research, because here we're trying to avoid duplication. We've done research over a number of years. You don't want to keep doing the same thing without implementing. We also look at latest developments in occupational health and safety nationally and internationally. And then we develop key focus areas, as I've indicated earlier. Once you have taken all those three steps, we're able to come to a point where we say we need to do work on machinery. We need to do work on rock falls, rock beds. So we define the key focus area of the research process in that area. Once the program is approved by council, submitted to the minister, the office then executes, gets entities to conduct research, and also to highlight at this point that we don't have in-house capacity. So our research is done through Council of CSIR, is done through CGS. It's also done through the National Institute of Occupational Health. So when the research is executed, these are some of the outcomes that come out of our research work, textbooks, books. That book, for example, talks to where mines employ feeding programs.
Mr. Kahn, we've been following you quite sensitively and seeing the poster. The last slide corresponds with our document is the one on the customer stakeholder perspective.
Oh, no.
When you said it's not achieved, you went on to the partially achieved promotional process. But then, when you went to measure its performance, you hear the data. In general business process is fine, eh? Yeah. So, yeah. The price I see, the way it gets lost in change.
Oh, yeah.
I think we understand the animation pattern, but I think it would have been key for us to have a copy of at least the best chart, the graph and the pie chart.
Okay.
Because I think there's some issues we'd also like to ask out of that.
Okay. I think when it gets to questions, I'll just go back to the slide and put it there. And we'd like to apologize for our monitor. So in the once the research projects are finalized, we develop materials that we see on the screen. At the bottom, we can see some of this material is written in different languages to make sure we're able to reach all our stakeholders. Currently, we developed a council-approved strategic document, communication strategy, which we really segmented the audience, because often what you find is that with the research outcome, maybe the focus is more at a higher level, and the workers don't really get the messaging. So we've segmented that to make sure that if you have a follow-ground program and you're developing communication or promotion material for that, you don't only focus on one layer. You do focus at owners, you do focus at operations managers, safety managers, and even employees, so that the right messages really get to all who need to get it. On the internal processes, it talks to our governance setup, developing strategic plans every 3 years rolling, putting it into a balanced scorecard and making sure that we're complying to that arrangement. The next slide looks at the development of a system which is really at an advanced stage. I think we did demonstrate it to the committee at some stage. This system was started as a health and joint project between health and safety, and the council to look at operations management, inspections, audits, and we think that with the implementation of the system, it will allow us to see the leading indicators, deal with the problems before they happen, and move away from our current focus of looking maybe at death, injuries, failures once they've occurred. And the system is getting implemented, and we think we'll reap good benefits from the implementation of the system. Chair, moving to the learning and growth. Internally, I think in this area we are doing well as an entity. We can see in terms of attracting and retaining staff was indeed a challenge, as I've highlighted in the beginning, at a high level where we had a high turnover rate. We think we've overcome that difficulty at this stage. For the year, I think we had a vacancy of around, it's actually two, but for a smaller entity of our size, those vacancies over the year create a problem. But in general, in that area, I think as an entity, we have done well. That takes us to the financial perspective, the last perspective, improving revenue collection. And as I indicated in the beginning, we collect levies from the mine. The entity really works on a small grant from the department. I think at this stage we're receiving just over 4 million grants annually from the department. The bulk of the money is levies that are collected from the mine. And in a sense, for the entity, you have to build in-house collection capacity where you're able to collect the money. It was a challenge. It's still a challenge, but we're cooperatively working with the department to make sure that we collect the money. With the coming of David on board since the beginning of October, the 1st of October, in that quarter, we managed to collect already 23 million of the monies owing to the council. So we think we're doing pretty well on our finances and managing the risk associated to finance. This is the summary of our performance for the year. I've spoken to the influence of legislation, the red, and then there's the second red, monitoring and improvement of lifestyle of mine workers. And what we're doing this year is to bring an additional committee to council. We've presented three committees, MREC, MOHEC, and SIMREC. We bring in the third committee, HIV, AIDS, and TB, which will really ensure the implementation of the National Strategic Plan at the mines. It will look at matters relating to hostels, their impact on this national program. We identified it as a key area that needs attention. That committee used to be a technical committee that reported to a principal committee that's chaired by the minister, but we're bringing it under council to resource it, to give it more direction so that we're able to deal with this challenge of TB, HIV, and AIDS in the mining sector. MHSC had was audited. Just moving to the governance issue, and we received an unqualified report. This is a statement from the audit committee. Our audit committee is fairly represented by external members, which for good governance is good. The chairperson is an external member, independent member, who exercise additional oversight on operations and reporting to council. And that's their statement. And that is reflected on our financial management. In the last year, 2009, we had a surplus of 23 million. The committee, I remember at the time, took us to task on that. Processes were put in place with the challenges that were faced in the year. We managed to reduce that by 10 million. And later I'll talk to programs that we've put in place now to further address that challenge. But in the main, under expenditure at council is driven by the nature of the work we do. We contract researchers in a research contract that's provision for extensions. Sometimes they're not, and more often actually, unable to finish the project in the 12 months or less allocated. The project overlapped the second year, and you cannot pay them because the payments are based on milestones, and those monies are reflected as under expenditure but committed to research, because there are research contracts backing those monies. So that's a reflection of good governance at council. I think when you look at that slide, there was a drop in the finances in 2010 from 62 million to 59 million. But that's mainly related to less interest because of the meltdown. We collected almost 2 million less in interest in the money we had in the accounts. And David, this is the unqualified opinion from the Auditor General. However, when we look at the report, there are a number of issues raised around irregular expenditures for the previous year, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. A lot of these things related to capacity internally. We think with the stabilization at an executive level, CFO in place, it's appointing a management accountant to improve focus on finances, the audit committee, internal audit in place, we are really get to clearing even these issues you see in the report. David, maybe you want to talk briefly about the issues on finances going forward.
Thank you, Chair. Just to add to what the CEO has just touched, indeed, if we look at the report that we are presenting, there were issues in relation to some irregular activities and spending, but as he has mentioned, those were very much structural. And in that regard, we have actually put processes in place going forward. We have capacitated ourselves, me being part of that capacity, plus the staff that we have engaged. And through that capacity building that we have done, we have also tightened the processes in relation to compliance, and also observing the policies and procedures of the organization. We have also reviewed the policies. The intention here is to ensure that those issues of non-compliance which happened in the past are dealt with going forward. The improvement that we have brought about, we are already seeing it through timely reporting, which we have. We are able to report our financial performance every month and quarterly on time and accurately. We are also able to focus and manage our expenditure by always comparing actual to budget on a monthly basis and meeting as management to immediately see what corrective measures we should be doing. Chairperson, we are also focusing very much on revenue management. As the CEO mentioned that we have to be collecting money from the mines that we levy according to the Act. And in this, we work very much in good cooperation and consultation with the Office of the Inspector of Mines. Lastly, Chair, we have looked into procurement matters by appointing a supply chain specialist. The intention here is also to make sure that whatever non-compliance issues that were raised in the past should be a matter of history. And going forward, those are the things that we are focusing on. Thank you.
Thanks, David, for the input. So, Chair, superimposing what we do on the sector performance, the last 3-4 slides really looks at how the sector is performing. The colorful line trending the performance of the sector in terms of fatalities last year compared to the previous year. It's a bit smoother, trending downwards, and we know there was an improvement of 24% last year, and we will keep working hard to make sure that we achieve our goal of zero harm in the sector through programs we're implementing. Looking at falls of ground, a lot of work and investment has been put in this area in dealing with gravity-induced fall of ground and also seismic-induced fall of ground. What we're doing, we're extending our coverage currently as we speak. One of the matters raised by the committee when we presented last year was better cooperation between ourselves and Council of Geoscience. We have entered into an agreement with Council of Geoscience to integrate all the seismic networks, because in the past, what really happens is that companies were monitoring on their own. There was no way of looking at what is happening. When an incident happened, the only time we got hold of the information was at an inquiry stage. And in reality, I mean, people were not presenting factual reports. And we believe this cooperation with Council of Geoscience will give us an early indication where they are likely to problems, because Council of Geoscience has got networks that cover the whole country. The only challenge is that those networks have got a cutoff point. They're not very effective in collecting data below a certain threshold, and they're looking at mine seismic network to integrate it with the national framework. That contract is costed for 3 years to a value of 29 million, and we think it will go a long way in addressing the challenge of fall of ground and seismicity. The next slide looks at the main causes of accidents. We see there the falls of ground machinery, but the slide on the right, the blue represents fatalities. I mean, from 2008, 2009, 2010, and the reddish color is actually injury. And what we see here is that defining our problems in the future, we also have to focus on injury, because predominantly we're driven by fatals. And we can see fatals are getting less and less, but injuries are more. The green is disabling injuries. But this is the trend we're beginning to see with the programs and work that has been developed. We spoke earlier about this slide. In the main, six regions are registering improvements, trending in the right direction. Only three regions that we see still lagging, and they are identified. If I can highlight those regions that are trending in the opposite direction, is really Free State, Limpopo, and Mpumalanga. When we see there, we see they're trending downwards, but in the main, we see a good improvement in terms of occupational hygiene measurement, which reduces the risk of silica, and maybe silicosis. Just commenting on the slide, this is the leading indicator. We know that occupational health exposures will lead to illnesses 6, 7, even 9 years after the effect. And really, as council, we want to put a lot of work in monitoring conditions now, reducing the dust, because that will mean less problems in the future. The measurements we see now are not necessarily linked the reported cases we receive now. Reported cases that comes through are failures that occurred 9, 10 years ago. And in this area, we're really focusing on leading indicators, getting conditions right, so that in the coming years, we're not sitting with the problems we're sitting with regard to occupational health. And this is noise-induced level exposure. We see in the main northwest, clearly when we see the slides, we can see there's a reporting challenge. But just looking at the key, category A talks to high exposure. That's the high risk. The one at the back with the purple color, those are high exposures. And we can see upwards of 35,000 employees in Northwest. And we know in Northwest, gold mines and platinum mines, in fact, almost half of our mine employees are in that province. With the shrinking of Free State, Gauteng, people are migrating, and we can see that pattern even in how occupational illnesses are beginning to occur. But there is indeed a challenge with reporting on occupational health. Gauteng cannot be the status, and we're working on addressing those. Well, we have a program currently with CSIR to deal with occupational health reporting, because it will really help us to contain the scourge and problems. So towards conclusion, we ask this question: how is the South African mining industry doing? How is it performing in terms of occupational health and safety? We took a long lead performance indicator. Our industry in the 80s tended to injure, maim, and kill close to 1,000 employees per year. A lot of things took place. Parliament came in 1996-97, promulgated the Mine Health and Safety Act, a milestone indeed. A whole concept of risk management was built into our law, and we've seen the improvements registered ever since. In 97, the Mine Health and Safety Council came. A number of programs we've alluded to were put in place, and we see a major drop up to a point where we stabilized around 300 deaths per year. There was no improvement. We had a summit in 2003 where specific targets to zero harm were set, noise-induced hearing loss, dealing with silicosis, and implementations of those programs saw an improvement. We also got to a level where we sort of stabilized. September 2008, we had a stakeholder summit which reviewed and gave new direction to the sector, and we registered improvement. We are at a point where we see we sort of leveling, and we looking at reviewing the performance later this year through a summit. And we hope we'll continue to drive this performance downwards. This is just a glance at next year, the following year's strategic focus. I'm not going to spend more time on it. What we've done, Chair and Honourable Members, now to really improve the internal process, we've looked at different units. And we've used research as an example to say research operations management, what are the issues? It's identifying the areas, procuring research, research management, and what do you do with the outcomes? So under those boxes is detailed processes that guide employees to deliver on our problems on time, efficiently, and really giving us the results we need. On the right there is just an example of a research identification process. What steps are followed, the analysis that is made, the approval that are required. Eventually that program goes to council, goes to the minister, is gazetted, and we execute the research program. So in conclusion, looking forward, we will be rolling out the culture transformation framework to deal with beliefs, values that really drive how people behave and turning the tide on occupational health and safety. The focus of the Council will be more on research dissemination, particularly in the area of faults of ground, to look at all past research we've done, package it in a way that will be put out to the sector for the benefit of mine workers. And also the finalization of the Center of Excellence. And this is an important part, Chair. It deals with the problem of underspending. Because what we find is that over the years, once the research program is approved, we advertise. And there are certain research work that people, we don't get researchers to do work for us. In fact, in discussion with the Deputy Minister yesterday, he said you need to develop an in-house research capacity. The way we seek to do this is to have formal arrangements with our research centers of excellence. We're finalizing that agreement with NIO, National Institute of Occupational Health, to focus on occupational health, data collection, and ongoing program of research, CSIR on safety, the universities on some areas of fundamental research. So, Council is at a point where we're finalizing this agreement, and implementation of that will also improve research spending and focus on emerging problems like acid mine drainage, the impact of acid mine drainage on community health, interacting with work that is done in other departments. I've spoken about the integration of seismic network. It's a major project. It has just started, and we will be collaborating with CDS for 3 years to see that program to its finalization. Last slide, our strength is really tripartism. Despite the differences we see, we have a uniform voice to zero harm. We have sound risk management internally. We'll continue to work on it and improve to clear all the audit findings that we see in our report, to really strive towards a clean audit report. The opportunities coming is really this aspect of center of excellence, which will drive spending, better focus on research, and even technology transfer, implementation of research outcomes. Culture transformation framework, which will really work on the minds of people and deal with value and beliefs issues. Research on acid mine drainage, dust from tailings, these are focus areas in this coming year. And the challenges, as I spoke about occupational health, we need proactive leading indicators. We're improving our processes through the implementation of the new system to collect leading indicators in terms of the problem areas. Generally, we see a lack of research capacity nationally, and we believe this arrangement of the Center of Excellence will address this challenge for us and further develop capacity to assist the inspectors, to assist the country in driving the agenda of improving health and safety and mines. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. This room is killing us. Something must be done. We can't sit and listen and sleep. Sorry, we can't expose us to this condition. We will not do our work in a manner we're supposed to. Suspending these proceedings until you fix this law. Let's take you so long, but fix this law. We've been sitting here since what? 8 o'clock? It can't be. I look around and I fire feeling in myself. I'm fatigued as a result of it. So please, committee session, deal with this problem. Let's take tea, 10, 15 minutes. If you can't solve it, tell us or change the venue. We need to engage, we need to listen attentively and be awake. We can't be subjected to a trouble situation.
Hey,